We're turning in God's Word to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, continuing our study. We left off, verse 39, last week. And we want to read, therefore, from verse 40 of Matthew, chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. It came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Amen. Let's pray for God's help this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we come before thee once again today, having read thy word, and we ask for help. We ask for understanding. We ask for direction. We ask, Lord, for instruction. Lord, we read that our Savior was commanding his disciples. And our prayer is that this morning we would have that experience of sitting at Jesus' feet as his disciples and hearing his voice commanding us. Lord, give us wisdom to listen. Give us a heart that understands. And, O Lord, give us a mind that will be obedient to say, Yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Oh, Lord, give us help this morning to hear and obey. Lord, I pray for all gathered. Don't let one pass by in their mind wandering or daydreaming. But, oh, Lord, allow all to hear thy voice. And therefore, empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy spirit, I pray, giving me help to proclaim thy truth. Oh, Lord, give us help this day, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. The last week we discovered or considered the first three marks of a true Christian as outlined by the Lord Jesus Christ. We learned in verses 32 to 33 that they confess Christ. By their life, they show that they belong to him. In verses 34 to 37, they love Christ first. Above all others and above all other things, they love Christ first. He is number one. Thirdly, in verses 38 to 39, they follow Christ. They follow in his footsteps. They follow in his ways. They follow his actions. And then the fourth mark is found in verses 40 to 42, which we have read this morning. And it is this: they will show kindness to Christ's people. They will show kindness to Christ's people. And this is an evidence of our salvation, but it's also something that the Lord Jesus Christ expects in our life. Now, the Lord did paint a realistic picture to his disciples about conflict and about persecution that they would face in life. But he also encouraged them, because he showed them that through their teaching, some would receive them, and some would encourage them, and some would provide for them. Not everybody would be against the gospel, but the Holy Spirit would work in certain hearts, and therefore, because they would be received, and because they would be encouraged and provided for, the idea of hospitality is brought up here. Those who receive, encourage, and help, those who come by their way, do a great service for the Lord. Many people do this in their homes. Maybe a brother or sister in Christ comes to your home and you provide something for them to eat, something for them to drink. You chat with them, you fellowship with them, you talk about the things of God with them, and you share your burdens. Maybe you pray together, whatever it is. There is the idea of hospitality, helping, encouraging, and providing for another person. Sometimes it's done here in the church, and we're going through a time when we're asking for people to come forward to help with the catering. Well, here is a wonderful passage of scripture that's encouraging. It talks about giving a cup of cold water. And how many times has that been done over the years in this building and in the complex? And it's certainly something we like to do to encourage people and to have fellowship together in that time of hospitality. Now, it's interesting to note that the Lord Jesus Christ says, for those who show kindness to the people of God, and in this instance specifically, to those who show kindness to the disciples who were going out to preach, there is a reward. Now, it says in verse 41, he that receiveth a prophet. Now, the word prophet simply means a forth teller, a forth teller. And we could think of the word prophet in this way, as someone who is telling forth what God has said. Now, in the Old Testament, we find that the Lord spoke to them directly, and they shared the message. But today, we have the Word of God in our hands. It's a complete Word. And then for someone to stand and to preach the Word of God, thus saith the Lord, in that sense, there is that prophetic ministry in that he is forth-telling the Word. And that's literally what the word prophet means. It means to tell forth the Word that God has given. And then it also talks there at the end of verse 41 about a righteous man, that is, a Christian. So for those who receive a preacher of the Word of God or simply a Christian, they will be rewarded. Now, how will they be rewarded? Well, it says there in verse 40, he shall receive a prophet's reward, and of a righteous man, he shall receive a righteous man's reward. Well, he will be blessed in one of two ways. Either the righteous man or the preacher will reward or bless the individual for the encouragement and the love that they have shown. Or the Lord will do it. But they will not miss the blessing. They will not miss the blessing of being hospitable. You see, you never lose out when you bless others in the Lord. Now, you will notice that this is a work for the Christian. Because before it talks about showing love to others, it talks about confessing Christ, loving Christ, and following Christ. And sometimes people think, well, if I serve the Lord, he will be pleased with me. But service is really only for the people of God. We are saved unto good works. We're not saved through good works. We're not saved because of good works. But rather, we do good works, for example, hospitality, because we're saved. And we want to give something unto the Lord of our time, of our abilities, to bless his church. Now, it's interesting the example he gives in verse number 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now, to give someone a cup of cold water, let's be honest, it does not involve training for that. It holds no special skill. It's simply going, lifting a glass, filling it with water, and giving it into someone's hand. In other words, it's something that every single person can do. You see, it involves no special skill, but done with a heart of love and with a spirit of helpfulness, it will receive a blessing. Now, cold water, it seems so common to us in our day, doesn't it? And yet, the common things done, the ordinary things done in love and with a spirit of helpfulness are a real blessing in times of need. Yes, cold water seems like something, I suppose, that's so ordinary, but if someone has been outside in the heat for a period of time, it's a real blessing to receive it. You see, even the very basic tasks that you can do for the Lord and for his people will be rewarded. There's nothing small, because as the hymn writer said, little is much when God is in it. You see, in the East at this time, to give a cup of cold water was an essential act of courtesy and hospitality. If someone came to your house, you would offer them a cup or a glass of cold water because of the heat, because of the dryness of the climate. It was not something that was special. It was taken for granted. It didn't deserve a reward. But isn't it wonderful how the Lord Jesus Christ rewards his people, and goes far beyond what we deserve. Just serving something to someone in love and with a spirit of helpfulness, we will receive a reward. So whatever you're doing for the Lord, don't think it's little. Don't think, oh, it's not that important. If you're pouring tea, if you're washing up the dishes, if you're brushing the floor or hoovering in the building, if you're locking up the doors, turning off the lights, whatever it is done in the name of the Lord, you will be rewarded. Now, I want to ask a question this morning, because maybe you've been sitting last Lord's Day and even this morning thinking, how can a believer be found with all of these characteristics? How can someone be truly found that continually confesses Christ, that loves Christ first, that follows Christ, that shows kindness? We know we fall so far short in each of these areas, don't we? Well, it's not by me saying to you this morning, try harder. That's not the way to grow in Christ. That's not the way to become more Christ-like. But I tell you, pray for power to obey what Christ commands you to do. Because these were commands to the disciples. And if the Lord gives you a command to obey, then there's power to obey it. And if you find it difficult obeying something, maybe loving Christ first, maybe there's something in your heart that you love more, maybe following Christ, you're not fully following the way you ought to be, then I tell you, pray for power to obey. Pray for power to obey. And if that's a prayer out of a sincere heart, the Lord will give you that power. You see, we cannot live a life that glorifies God by our own strength, and nor are we called to try to. But we must do all through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And therefore, Lord, give me help to confess Christ continually by my lips and by my life. Lord, give me help to love Christ above all others, to obey him above all others, to put him first when I'm making decisions above all others. Lord, help me to follow Christ. Help me to show kindness to the people of God. And not only should we show kindness to the people of God, but when kindness is shown to us, we should be thankful to that person and to the Lord, because every blessing we receive is ultimately from his hand. Then we come to chapter 11, and we come to a different part of the narrative here, and there's something that's inserted here between the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and then the further ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 12. And chapter 11 deals with the Lord speaking about John the Baptist, and that takes place because of a message or a question that comes from John to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice, first of all, it says in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." Now, the word commanding, it means to arrange thoroughly. To arrange thoroughly. So the Lord Jesus Christ had a specific way he wanted his people to conduct themselves. The word can be translated prescribe, appoint, or set in order. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 34, Paul says, "The rest will I set in order when I come." And it's the same word. So the Lord is setting in order the ministry and the conduct of his disciples, the way he wants them to conduct themselves. And you know, there is a way that God wants us to conduct ourselves. When we come to the Word of God and there's a clear command, it's not for our consideration, but rather it is a command for our obedience. He calls them disciples. He made an end of commanding his disciples. That means to be a learner, to be a pupil. How do you approach the Word of God? Some people approach the Word of God in this way. I have an idea in my head that this is right, so I'm going to search the Bible to prove my theory and to prove what I think is right. I'm going to search the Bible to find some little verse or some obscure reference that's going to appear to prove my opinions, my behavior, my theories, my thoughts. That is not how you're to approach the Bible. You're to come to the Word of God, and you're to pray, "Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes." Psalm 119, verse 118, I believe. "Open thine eyes, that thou may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You're to come as a disciple saying, "Lord, teach me. Lord, show me something today that I can obey. Show me something new And that's exactly how the Lord instructs his disciples today. We are to sit at the feet of Jesus daily, opening this word and seeing what the Lord would say to us. How does God speak today? Well, we covered this in the youth fellowship last night. Mr. Hamilton was doing that topic, and the young people were showing how the Lord speaks today to his people. I very simply want to say that the Lord speaks through Scripture. The Lord speaks through Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If you're going to move forward, make sure you move forward holding the light of the Word of God in your hand, that you'll see the way ahead, you'll see the right direction, you'll see the dangers that are to be avoided. Make sure you keep holding the lamp and the light, that you will be able to walk wisely and well. But he also instructs us through his Spirit. And the Spirit of God leads us and guides us. And the Bible tells us in John 16, 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he guides us into truth by taking us to the truth and pointing us to the truth. Some people feel, well, I heard something in my head and something told me this, so this must be the Lord speaking to me. That is not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that the Lord guides through his word. Now, the Holy Spirit brings verses to our minds, and the Holy Spirit brings our conscience to be pricked whenever something is wrong. And maybe we know that the Lord is putting a finger upon our life saying, you should not be doing this. We know in times of chastisement that the Holy Spirit is revealing to our hearts that the Lord is displeased with us. But the whole counsel of Scripture has been given. There is an amen at the end of it. We are not to add to it, and we're not to take from it. And we must be very careful that we do not go about saying, well, the Lord told me to do this. And whenever we look at Scripture, it's the complete opposite of what the Lord commands. It's only through a Scripture we have authority to speak. It's only on the basis of Scripture we have the authority to tell people that something is sinful or wholesome, to tell people that they're on their way to heaven or hell, depending on how they stand with Christ. It's only in the authority of Scripture that we have the right to call people to repentance. We have no other authority other than what has been given to us in the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit does lead us. And what happens is, when we open the Word, the Holy Spirit works by applying that word to our heart. And some people think the work of the Spirit is outside of the Word of God. It is through the Word of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And in the work of the Spirit, in instructing us, it is done through the Word. So there's a responsibility of the disciple to listen to and to heed their master. Now we find in verse number 2, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now the news of the Lord Jesus Christ has spread around the land. John was in prison. The first century historian Josephus states that John was held in the dungeons of a fortress on the east shore of the Dead Sea. Now while people know little about the conditions of the prison or his imprisonment, it was common in that land at that time for families or disciples to tend to the needs of the prisoners. There was no welfare system as such, but families were allowed to come and bring food to prisoners or clothing to prisoners as it was needed. Now, John asked a question. And it is a strange question when we think about it. John the Baptist asked the question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, some people believe that John asked the question because he was unsure if Jesus was the Christ. I don't believe that to be so. Others believe that he is talking about the prophet that was promised in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, when Moses talked about a prophet shall rise up from among his own people. And John was asking the question, is the Lord Jesus, who is the Son of God, the prophet that was spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, is he also the Messiah and the prophet that Moses spoke about? And then there are others who believe that John had no crisis of faith at all, but he had sent his two disciples because they were unsure. You see, they had been following John. And they had been baptized by John. They were listening to the preaching of John. And all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ came upon the scene. And John stepped back and said that he must decrease and that Christ must increase. And he pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And perhaps it was his disciples that were questioning, should we be following the Lord Jesus or should we be following John? Is it worth it to follow Jesus, or are we going to do something wrong in not following John? Whatever the reason, and in many ways it's immaterial, John sent them to the Saviour to hear his word. Now, I believe John knew who Christ was. Look what it says in chapter 11 and verse number 11. Jesus is speaking, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So he is the greatest born of woman. So I believe he would have had the knowledge. What did John know? Well, we know that in Luke 3, verse 6, he said, "All flesh shall see the salvation of God." Verse 16, he said, "He would baptize with the Holy Spirit." In John 1, verse 29, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." In verse 34, he said, "This is the Son of God." So therefore, I don't believe there was really a lack on John's part, but he did send the people here. What a lesson for us today. If there are people who are questioning who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what the gospel is, what truth is, the best thing that we can do is bring them to the Lord, or send them to the Savior, send them to the Word of God. You see, people may not accept our testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. They may not believe us or what we declare to be true, but the best thing that we can do is, instead of trying to reason with them with our words, is bring them to the Word of God. And anybody involved in any type of outreach knows that you don't stand and get into an argument over, is this right or is that right? You bring them to the Word of God and to the claims of Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You see, God still speaks today through his Word. And if you want to see your family and your friends saved, get them under the Word of God. That's the best thing you can do, because it is the Word of God. That is the power of God unto salvation. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You see, while you're speaking to someone, yes, the Lord may work at that time. But if you're speaking the words of Scripture will reveal their thoughts. It will reveal their heart, who they truly are. And therefore, better to say a few words of Scripture in the power of the Spirit of God than to stand arguing with someone for over an hour. Better to bring them to the Word of God, because it's the power. Now, it may be that you'll sit with an hour or 2 hours with people who want to ask those questions, and there's nothing wrong with that, but get to the Word of God. That's the greatest factor. Now, the question is an important one. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? The coming Messiah had been promised throughout the Old Testament. The Jewish people were looking forward to his coming. Many people asked the question, is this really the Christ? Now, the word Christ is a Greek equivalent of the word in the Hebrew, which means Messiah. Both mean anointed one. So Christ and Messiah are effectively the same meaning. Nicodemus himself went to the Lord Jesus Christ at night to clarify some things in his mind. He knew he was a teacher come from God, but he wanted to know more about who Christ was. And it was the result of one of those great investigations that Nicodemus went on that we have one of the greatest gospel revelations in Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everybody needs to ask this question. Everybody in their lifetime needs to ask this question. Art thou he that should come? Is the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior? Is he the Messiah? Is he the promised one? Is he the Son of God? Is he the one who can save? Is he the one who can deliver from bondage? Has he power to save us from hell? Is he the Son of God and God the Son? Is he the eternal one without beginning and without end? Well, let's look at the answer given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." The Lord asks them to go and to share, to tell John about what they have heard and what they have seen. That's the way the message is spread, by telling others. It is our duty as God's people to tell others what he has shown to us. Now, there are several examples of miracles highlighted in this passage. The blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And what I want you to do is just keep your finger there, but turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 35. And in Isaiah chapter 35, you're going to read some words that will appear familiar to you. Isaiah 35, verse number 5. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." But then also turn over to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And again, we have a prophecy about the office of Christ. Verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Now, what have we done? We have gone to those passages that the Lord Jesus Christ has quoted from. Now, the book of Isaiah was a very well-known book among the Jewish people. In fact, whenever we read of John's teaching and preaching, he himself preached from Isaiah in Luke chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, and in John chapter 1. So his disciples would have been familiar with the book of Isaiah and about the prophecies of the coming Messiah. And whenever we look down this, we find what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing is highlighting he is the fulfillment of the promises that God had given. He has fulfilled them. So look there in verse number 5 of Matthew chapter 11. "The blind receive their sight." You can go back to chapter 9, verses 27 to 31, and we see the blind receiving their sight. The lame walk in chapter 9 in the first verses. One who is unable to walk is raised with the ability to walk by the Lord Jesus. The lepers cleansed, chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. The deaf hear. Mark's gospel records that in Mark 7. The dead raised up, chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. The Lord has fulfilled all of these. In fact, we can go further than that. The Lord has fulfilled the prophecy in a greater way than the prophecy even was given. He has done above and beyond what was promised. Because in that prophecy, there was no mention of the lepers being cleansed. There was no mention of the dead being raised to life. But the Lord has done it. You see, the Lord's able to do more. More even than is promised in his word. He's able to do great things, wonderful things. You know, as I think about this, not only does he talk about those miracles, but there's something very important that we could easily overlook. Look at the very last line of verse 5. "The poor have the gospel preached to them." And that's very significant. In Isaiah 61, we read these things: "He will preach good tidings unto the meek," or the poor. Why is that significant? Because really, the poor weren't regarded as worth teaching. The poor weren't regarded as worth teaching The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they didn't fall over themselves to get the poor in. They weren't of great benefit to them. There was no financial reward for reaching out to the poor. It really was for the upper classes that they had their focus, because people were bringing offerings into the temple or into the synagogues. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he's saying this: he doesn't discriminate. The gospel's for all, whether it's the widow with her little mite, or whether it is the Roman centurion who has enough wealth to build a synagogue. Whether you're rich or poor, exalted in life, or caused to have very little in life, the gospel's for all. And that's one of the great significant features of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he fulfilled this. The meek shall hear the gospel preached to them. And that's what he did. He sat down with the publicans and the harlots and the robbers. And he sat down and he spoke to them. And what was happening? The Pharisees were looking on and tutting. Why is he gone to sit with sinners? Because sinners need to hear the gospel. Sinners need to hear the gospel. Whether they're rich or poor, whether they're respected by society, or whether they're the outcast of society, all need to hear the gospel. And the gospel is for all. Because if you look down at this list of things that the Lord Jesus Christ can do, they are a picture of what the Lord still does for sinners today. The blind receive their sight. We are born spiritually blind. We cannot see the way. We cannot find our way to God. The lame walk. We are born unable to walk or to do anything to go towards God. We have no ability whatsoever. Spiritually speaking, we're lame. The lepers were cleansed. We're born unclean. And nothing can wash away the stain of our sin. We can't cover it. We can't take it away. We can't medicate it. We can do nothing at all because we're unclean in the sight of a holy God. The deaf hear. We're born deaf to the things of God. We will not hear his voice. We will not receive his truth. The dead are raised. We are born spiritually dead. Yes, we've life in our bodies physically today, but spiritually speaking, we're dead in trespasses and in sin. There is nothing within us but deadness, decay, sin, corruption. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver you from those things. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can open your eyes. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give you ability to walk in holiness. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse you and make you clean. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give you an ear to hear his voice. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring life where there is death. And if you're not saved this morning, you need the Lord Jesus Christ to work a miracle in your life. And praise God, he's able to do it. If you will but turn from your sin, the only one who has power to change you, to transform you, will reach down and he'll open your eyes. He'll put you upon your feet that you might walk. He'll cleanse you. He'll speak to you. He'll breathe life within. Jesus, only Jesus has the power to transform your life in such a way. To change you from one who is unrighteous and separated from God to one who is clean and in union with God. Now, how does he do that? Well, the Bible says when we turn from our sin and call upon him. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I'm unclean. And I need true life. I need eternal life. I need cleansing through the blood that Jesus shed. Come and save me. Come and rescue me. And friend, if you will but call, Jesus will save. He's mighty to save. He's willing to save. He's ready to save. What's holding you back? Don't sit in your sin any longer today. Don't sit in your sin thinking things will be okay, or sometime in the future you'll get the matter settled. If you're not saved today, you need Jesus Christ now. Right now. Before we sing our final hymn. Before you leave this building. Before you go home and get your dinner. You need Jesus now. And I beg you, if you feel the Lord calling you and know the Lord's calling you, don't even wait to the end of this message. Bow your head now where you sit and say, Lord Jesus, save me, a sinner. He is able. And he finishes off with these words, verse 6, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. The word offended means to fall away or to come across a stumbling block. You see, the Pharisees were offended at Christ because he did not fit in with their idea of what a Messiah should be. Many of the Jewish people were offended because the Lord did not fit in with their idea of what a Messiah should be. Many sinners are offended by God. Many sinners are offended by God because the Lord calls them to repentance from their sin, and they think that the Lord, if he really was God, he should bless them as they are now in their sin. And such is the wickedness of the heart of man. The accusation he makes against God, why would God not bless me now in my sin? He is not a good God. He's not a loving God. No, the Lord doesn't bless people in their sin. The blessing of the Lord is that he saves them from their sin. That's the blessing. That's salvation. Only a fool would want the blessing or a blessing from God as they fall into hell. In their sin, how could a good God smile upon someone who's in their sin on their way to a lost eternity? No, the holiness of God hates sin. The holiness of God sent his Son to die and suffer the punishment for sin. And the holiness of God saves men and women from sin. And therefore, this morning, the fault is not in God's part that you're not saved this morning. It's that you have not had a right view of God. He's holy, holy, holy. And your one responsibility this morning is to turn away from a life of sin and call on the only one who can save you. And he will transform your life. Then you'll be blessed. Then you'll be blessed. Then you'll know the joy of sins forgiven. Will you come this morning? Will you come to the one who was promised, who has fulfilled the word, and who still has power to save? Because praise God, he is able. We're going to sing our final hymn, just two verses of this hymn. And the two verses, 1 and 2 of hymn 90. Oh, how sweet the glorious message, simple faith may claim, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. He's the same today. He is able to save to the uttermost, and therefore call upon him. Verses 1 and 2, and they will remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee that the Lord Jesus Christ has lost none of his power. He is the all-powerful Holy One. He is able to save today. He is able to convert today. He's able to cleanse today. He's able to transform and make people new creatures by his power. And Lord, there's no lack on the part of our Savior. And therefore, Lord, I pray you'll move sinners to come and put their trust in him. Oh, Lord, take away their silly notions of what God should be or who God should be, and bring them to the Word of God and realize that a holy God standing before them today, warning them of the danger that lies ahead of their sin, warning them of the judgment to come, warning them of the hell that will be their reality if they stay in their sin. Oh, Lord, help them to hear the voice of God. Come unto me. Oh, give grace for sinners to come today. Give mercy in this place and add to the kingdom such as should be saved. Oh, Lord, bring us back this evening, we pray. Oh, give us such a hunger, Lord, that we'll have to be here. Oh, Lord, bless all that takes place the rest of this day. Thy day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.